The following is a class on the nectar of instruction. Text number 1. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on October 15th, 2010, in Pune, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vacho Vegam Manasakrodha Vegam. Jiva Vegam Udaro Pasta Vegam. Etan Veganyo Vishahita Dira.
Etan Veganyo Vishahita Dira.
Savam Pimam Pritivim Shashishya. Translation. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Actually, this verse completely defeats the Vedic philosophy. They say that only Prabhupada can initiate disciples. But Rupa Goswami doesn't agree with the Vedic philosophy. He says anyone who can conquer these six pushings, he can make disciples all over the world. This is Rupa Goswami. So who do we listen to? The Vedic people or the Rupa Goswami? Are we the Rigvik Anugas or the Rupa Anugas? We're the Rupa Anugas. We hear from Rupa Goswami, not from the Vedics. We understand that anyone who can conquer these six pushings is qualified to make disciples all over the whole world. Now, Prabhupada will now explain in detail about what does that mean, to conquer these six pushings. So we will read and then I will comment as we go through. This is my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasis. She is reminding that everyone, if you have some questions, we'll have a question and answer session in the last half hour. And at least so, if you have any questions now, you should be writing them down and you can pass them forward. At 8:30, we'll begin a question and answer session. Mm-hmm. Purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6:9-10, Pariksha Maharaj placed a number of intelligent questions before Shukadev Goswami. One of these questions was, why do people undergo atonement if they cannot control their senses? For instance, a thief may perfectly know well that he may be arrested for stealing, and he actually may even see a thief arrested by the police, yet he continues to steal. Experience is gathered by hearing and seeing. One who is less intelligent gathers experience by seeing, and one who is more intelligent gathers experience by hearing. So what are we doing now? This very minute, we are hearing, isn't it? So that's why I wanted this child also to hear, you see. The children are the future leaders of the world. If they can learn to hear very nicely, you see, they'll avoid committing so many mistakes in their life. The key is you have to hear. The seeing is for less intelligent people. Hearing is for more intelligent people. When an intelligent person hears from the law books and shastras or scriptures that stealing is not good, and hears that a thief is punished when arrested, he refrains from theft. A less intelligent person may first have to be arrested and punished for stealing to learn to stop stealing. However, a rascal, a foolish man, may have the experience of both hearing and seeing and may even be punished. But still he continues to steal. Even if such a person atones and is punished by the government, he will again commit theft as soon as he comes out of jail. If punishment in jail is considered atonement, what is the benefit of such atonement? And thus Parikshit Maharaj inquired, Drishta Shutyabhyam Yad Papam Jananyap Yatmano Hitam Karoti Bhuyo Vivasha Prayishchitam Matokatam Kachin Nivaratate Badrat Kavacharati Tatpanaha Prayashchitam Matoparatam Manye Kunjara Shauchavat. It is compared to an elephant's bathing. The elephant may take a very nice bath in the river, but as soon as he comes onto the bank, it throws dirt all over its body. What then is the value of its bathing? This is called Hati Snan, the elephant's bath. Similarly, many spiritual practitioners chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and at the same time commit many forbidden things, thinking that their chanting will counteract their offenses. So the 10 types of offenses one can commit while chanting the holy name of the Lord, this offense is called Namno Balad Yashahi Papa Buddhi. Committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Similarly, certain Christians go to church to confess their sins, thinking that confessing their sins before a priest and performing some penance will relieve them from the results of their weekly sins. This is called confession. The Catholics do it on Saturdays. You go and confess to the priest, "My dear father, I have done this week." And he says, "That is, you do this atonement and you'll be free from the reaction." So they do the atonement, they chant 500 Hail Marys or whatever the atonement is given by the priest. And then they go out and say, "Now I'm clean, I'll go out and sin again and enjoy myself and go back from my penance on Saturday." So that's a process, doesn't free one from the tendency to commit sinful activities. So mere atonement is not the process for becoming liberated. The process for becoming liberated is to change the tendency of the heart. There will be no question of sinful activities. Bhagavan elaborates. This kind of prayaschitta or atonement is condemned by Parikshit Maharaj, the most intelligent king of his time. Shukadeva Goswami, equally intelligent as befitting the spiritual master of Parikshit Maharaj, answered the king and confirmed that his statement concerning atonement was correct. A sinful activity cannot be counteracted by a pious activity. The real prayaschitta atonement is the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important thing. You don't really have to do any atonement. All you have to do is awaken your Krishna consciousness. Apichet sadaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadare samanjavya samyanbhak vasito hi saham. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly. Why? Because he is properly situated in his determination. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 30. The Prabhupada continues, now real atonement involves coming to real knowledge, and for this there is a standard process. When one follows a regulated hygienic process, he does not fall sick. A human being is meant to be trained according to certain principles to revive his original knowledge. Such a methodical life is described as tapasya. One can be gradually elevated to the standard of real knowledge or Krishna consciousness by practicing austerity and celibacy, brahmacharya. By controlling the mind, by controlling the senses, by giving up one's possessions in charity, by being avowedly truthful, by keeping clean, and by practicing yoga asanas. However, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee, he can easily surpass all the practices for controlling the mind by the mystic yoga process simply by following the regulated principles of Krishna consciousness. Refraining from illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, and by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. This easy process is being recommended by Rupa Goswami. So this is the preliminary part of the purport. Now, Prabhupada will go into these six items and elaborate on each one of them. So Prabhupada has laid a foundation now to understand this purport. That the method of becoming free from sin is not to do atonement. In other words, atonement is like treating the symptoms instead of treating the disease itself. Modern day medicine is very good at treating the symptoms, you see, of a disease. But the doctors now are not very expert to go in and treat the root cause of the disease. You see, the expert physician can go into the very root cause of the disease and cause it at that, cure it at that level, so it becomes completely solved, the problem completely solved. But simply covering the symptoms by giving you some pain reliever without relieving the source of the pain, you see, that is incomplete. You can go to one doctor, he gives you a pain reliever, you see. Go to another doctor, he actually knows why you're getting the pain and he teaches you how to cure the body so that pain doesn't even come anymore. So which doctor is better? The one who gives you the pill to relieve the pain, or one who shows you how to cure the body so the pain doesn't even come? You understand? So Prabhupada is laying this foundation now in his purport. That this is the proper method to go to the very root cause of the problems and solve the problem on that, the problems of life on that level. The root cause of all of our problems is very simple. We're lacking Krishna consciousness. If that one problem is solved, if you become Krishna conscious, then all of your problems in life become automatically solved, you see. You don't have to do this, that to solve your problem. Simply become Krishna conscious. And then all of your problems in life immediately finish. Somebody may have a 5,000 rupee problem. Someone else has a 20,000 rupee problem, you see, or a 1 lakh rupee problem. But if you become a multi-billionaire, you see, with crores and crores of rupees, then all of your rupee problems are solved. So, if you become a lover of God, you see, then you become the most wealthy person, then all your small-time problems, this problem, that problem, this problem, they're all solved immediately simply by coming to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So now we'll begin looking at the six different items. First, one must control his speaking power. Every one of us has the power of speech. As soon as we get an opportunity, we begin to speak. We do not speak about Krishna consciousness, we speak about all sorts of nonsense. A toad in the field speaks by croaking, ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. And similarly, everyone who has a tongue wants to speak, even if all he has to say is nonsense. The croaking of the toad, however, simply invites the snake, please come here and eat me. See, the snake, he can hear that vibration. He just by hearing it, he can zero in on that sound vibration, even when it's completely black, dark night. You can't see anything. But just by hearing the croaking, he knows exactly where that toad is, and he goes right in, whoom! He swallows that toad and eats him, you see. So if you want to be swallowed by death, death comes and goes, whoop! I'm going to eat you up, you see. So, if we croak, if we speak all nonsense, kakakra, 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 you see, gramya kata, simply nonsense talk about this, that, but no Krishna consciousness, then death will come and rip, will grab you up and take you down into the lower species. Ooh, no fun. You go to a lower species. Who would like to be a dog? Especially, of course, in America, it's not as bad. They're pretty pampered there. And street dogs in India, ooh, they really are bad. So don't be in the habit of talking nonsense, gossiping, this, that. You be in the habit of Krishna Gita. Machchita mangita prana bhodhyanta prasparam katayantaschamam nityam chashanti chavamanticha. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me, just like we're doing right now, you see. Isn't this nectar? Isn't this sweet nectar to be here talking about Krishna? Is there anything more fun than this? Isn't this the sweetest bliss you've ever tasted in your whole life? To be here hearing and chanting about Krishna? You see, this is the topmost pleasure. It beats any pleasure of the senses, of the mind, of the false ego. This is the ultimate pleasure. You see, this is the sweetest nectar. To dive deeply into that mellifluous, which means flowing with sweetness, ocean of Krishna prema. You see. So this is the tongue. It is meant to glorify Krishna. Not some movie star, some Commonwealth games, or some waste of time, stupid activities like that. You see. It's meant to glorify Krishna. Baba continues, the talking of materialistic men and impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers may be compared to the croaking of toads, frogs. They are always speaking nonsense and thus inviting death to catch them. Controlling speech, however, does not mean self-imposed silence, the external process of mona, as Mayavadi philosophers think. So the Mayavadis say, I will not speak any nonsense, I will just become silent. They practice mana, they just want to become silent. Of course, that is better than speaking all nonsense. But then what do they do? We've seen one so-called Mayavadi guru, Moni Baba guru, you see. He would, instead of speaking, he would write things on a chalkboard, but he spoke all nonsense on the chalkboard. He said, I am Rama, I am Krishna. He's on the chalkboard. So what is... Well, they're thinking, oh, he's very advanced because he doesn't speak. He just writes on the chalkboard. But he's writing all garbage on the chalkboard. I am Rama, I am Krishna. He's on the chalkboard. So who needs such bogus gurus, you see? Better the guru who talks a lot, but talks about Krishna, than the so-called silent guru who doesn't say anything. But when he never speaks, it's all nonsense. Mayavadi and personal philosophy. Silence may appear, Baba continues, silence may appear helpful for some time, but ultimately it proves a failure. The meaning of controlled speech can fade by Srila Rupa Goswami advocates the positive process of Krishna Katha, engaging the speaking process in glorifying the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The tongue can thus glorify the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. The preacher of Krishna Katha is always beyond the clutches of death. There's a nice verse like that in the Bhagavatam about how they are beyond the clutches of death, the speaker of Krishna Katha. This is the significance of controlling the urge to speak. So, would you like to be deathless? Would you like to have a bulletproof existence? Terrorist-proof, Al-Qaeda-proof existence? You see? That old age-proof, car accident-proof, terrorist-proof, cancer-proof, heart disease-proof existence? All you have to do is always be vibrating Krishna Katha. Wherever you get a chance, always talk about Krishna. When you come home, when you get up in the morning, vibrate Hare Krishna. You see. When you go to brush your teeth, Hare Krishna. When you get in that shower, Hare Krishna. You see. When you put on your dhoti, you put on a dhoti every morning, right? Hare Krishna. You see? Actually, why a dhoti? Some people say, some girl says, well, although I wear a sari when I go to the temple home, I always wear blue jeans because I'm more comfortable in blue jeans. You see? But I told her, I wrote her back, I said, I'm not comfortable in blue jeans. I feel very uncomfortable wearing blue jeans. You see, I feel very comfortable wearing dhoti. You see, this devotional clothing enhances our ability to meditate on Krishna. It's not just a uniform. This is a meditation aid. So I recommend that you get up in the morning and put on a sari or a dhoti to begin do your puja, and then you can always change clothes before you go to work. But do yourself a favor, you know. Create a Vaikuntha atmosphere every morning when you get up. Put on a dhoti, tilak. Be a full-on devotee every morning when you get up. You see. Completely in the mood. Get up, take your shower, put on dhoti, put on tilak, and then chant down. You feel like you're in the spiritual world, you see. The more you can enhance your Krishna consciousness practice in the early morning, the more it will go with you throughout the day. How many of you would leave the house if your mobile phone was not properly charged? You wouldn't do that. You charge it before you go, so you won't miss that important call. So why do you give your mobile phone more, and say, a better service than you do your consciousness? That's my question. Why you charge your mobile phone, but you don't charge your own Krishna consciousness? You're thinking, well, I'll chant some rounds on the bus, and I'll chant some here and there, you know, here and there, a little bit there, a little bit, squeeze it in. Finally, at the end of the day, I'll get them all done, staying up till 11 o'clock. I mean, why don't you just do yourself a favor and properly charge your spiritual battery every morning, go to bed early, get up early, fully charge your spiritual battery before you begin the day, you see. This is intelligence. So do you do that? You see, you go to school, don't you? Huh? So, are you old enough for school? Yeah. So before you go to school, you should get up and chant some japa. You see, put some tilak on, chant some japa, be a devotee in the morning. In the school, they are not encouraging devotees. They're karmi school, you're karmis. So when you get up, you be a devotee. Because devotee, you see, is better than karmi. Karmi means they're an idiot. They're going down to the material, the cycle of birth and death in their next life. They're going down to the animal, become animals, you see. But devotee means you're on a higher platform. You're getting out of this material world. You're not like one of these stupid fools who's going down to become a dog or an orangutan in his next lifetime. You see? So we encourage everyone, children, old people, married people, single people, whatever you may, whether you're in ashram, whether you're in the home, get up and do yourself a favor and rise early in the morning and chant Hare Krishna. You see? Your life will become full of nectar. Your heart will be oozing with so much nectar, you become like a volcano spewing bhakti lava wherever you go throughout the day, you see. So why not become fully surcharged, overflowing with Krishna consciousness, you see. Just like Prahlad, he was doing that. He had so much Krishna consciousness at the school when it came time for the lunch hour, the tiffin hour. He said, my dear boyfriends, why are you wasting your time playing like this? Why don't you chant Hare Krishna, you see? You see, why are you wasting your time? He was immediately telling his childhood boyfriends, why are you wasting your time playing like this? You should chant Hare Krishna, you see. So in this way, the children should learn how to tell the other children how to become Krishna conscious. Instead of just some, you know, vibrating nonsense, give them Krishna katha. The next item, described by Prabhupada, is the mind. The restlessness or fickleness of the mind, manovega, is controlled when one can fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Maja 22:31 says, Krishna surya samma maya haya andakara yahan krishna tahan nahi mayara adhikara. Krishna is just like the sun and maya is just like darkness. If the sun is present, there is no question of darkness. Similarly, If Krishna is present in the mind, there is no possibility of the mind being agitated by Maya's influence. The yogic process of negating all material thoughts will not help. To try to create a vacuum in the mind is artificial. The vacuum will not remain. However, if one always thinks of Krishna and how to serve Krishna best, one's mind will naturally be controlled. So the Mayavadi, they want to make the mind blank. So what are they thinking? I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank. Mind become blank. Mind blank. Mind. They're thinking. They're thinking of making their mind blank. That's the best they can achieve. They're not thinking of some girl or some money or something. The best, they're just thinking, I have to make my mind blank. That's all. So is the mind blank? No, they never become blank minds. Never. And minds never become blank. No, that is artificial position. They want to deny the material varieties, but they become attached to the material activity of denial. That's still on their denial of material varieties is still on the material plane. So when one gives up this denial process and comes to the transcendental acceptance process on the transcendental platform, then and only then is one liberated. Denial itself, trying to empty all the thoughts out of the mind, it will never be successful. The mind is by nature active. So unless it is active in Krishna consciousness, you see, it will be active in Maya consciousness. So you must learn how to make your mind active in Krishna consciousness. That will solve every single problem you could ever have in your whole life, whether you're at home or school, wherever you may be. There are so many problems we have to face. But if you become Krishna conscious, all problems finished, immediately finished. Did you know that? That just by becoming Krishna conscious, every single problem of your life will be solved. Whether it's a child, an old person, it doesn't matter what your position is. Every single problem in your life will be solved simply if you become Krishna conscious. Therefore, we have our society. What is that called? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, what does that mean? The members are supposed to be Krishna conscious. So, are you Krishna conscious? Each one of us should ask ourselves, am I truly Krishna conscious or am I just trying to become Krishna conscious? And if I'm trying, well, to what extent have I been successful? 1%, 2%, 5%, 20%? Because until you're 100% Krishna conscious, do you know what you're running the risk of? Not being fully absorbed in Krishna Smarana at the time of death. Which means taking birth again in this material existence. Not that, well, I'm initiated, Prabhu. I don't have to worry about anything. Now I'm going back to Godhead. My guru has taken my karma. What is that? That's called Christianity. I accepted Jesus. I can do whatever I want. Jesus is saving. No. If you want to be actually saved, you have to develop the taste of the spiritual sky. Your tastes and the tastes of the Paramvyomis, the inhabitants of the spiritual sky, has to be the same. If you have a taste for material sense gratification, you wouldn't be happy in the spiritual world. There's a little story in this connection of a Christian family. It's a make-believe story, but it makes a point. They went to church every Sunday. And after church, they would go to McDonald's for their Sunday McDonald's double cheeseburger, you see. So, because they accepted Jesus, again, this is a make-believe story. They went back to the spiritual sky. And now they're back in the spiritual sky, and they're saying, oh, dear God, it's so wonderful to be here. I say, Jesus is over there. I'm so happy to be here. It's so great. And, oh, by the way, where's the McDonald's up here? Is it? Well, I'm sorry, we only have Govindas up here. So, the point is, as long as you have any taste for sinful activities, you wouldn't be happy, even if you could enter the spiritual world, you would not be happy in the spiritual world. That's why a meat eater cannot go back to Godhead. It is even confirmed in the Bible that the spiritual world is a vegetarian place. You know that's confirmed in the Bible. The verse says that the lamb and the lion, they will sit peacefully side by side in the spiritual world. The lamb, in this material world, you put a lamb and a lion together, what happens? Immediately, that lion will eat that little lamb, you see. In the spiritual world, no. The Bible says they will sit peacefully side by side as friends. So, if in the spiritual world, even the lamb, the lion does not eat the lamb, that means it's a completely vegetarian place, even according to the Bible. So how, if they're addicted to meat eating, they would be happy in the spiritual world. They would become miserable. They, oh my God, this is horrible. This is like the Hare Krishna temple. I'm getting out of here. You people are vegetarians. And I can't handle them, you see. So the point is that if you really want to become qualified to go back to Godhead, you have to develop the mentality of the Vrijabhasis. The spiritual sky, that means the mood of giving, always giving, 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 giving. Not taking, taking. Material consciousness is take, 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 take. Spiritual life means give, 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 give. How much service can I give to you, Prabhu? How much service can I give to you, Mataji? How much service can I give to you, Guru Maharaj? In this way, you see. How much can I serve you, my Lord Krishna? So the more you can give service, you see. The more you can give service, that is your qualification, because that is the nature of the inhabitants of the spiritual world. They are totally absorbed in giving service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they love giving service. There's nothing sweeter pleasure for them to be fully absorbed in serving, 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 serving. So when it comes to conquering this fickle mind, it's a very simple process. We simply have to engage the mind in devotional service. And then the mind will become tamed and will give up this manipulative tendency to try to enjoy separately from the Lord. You see. And we become satisfied in serving in so many ways, you see, by hearing about Krishna, by chanting Krishna's name, by remembering Krishna, you see, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam. You know that Pada Sevanam includes bathing in the Jamuna and the Ganga. The other day I took my Jamuna bath. It's 100 times more powerful than bathing in Ganga, because it's a place of Krishna's Leela, you see. So you can do, by bathing in Jamuna, you can do a very powerful Pada Seva. Padasevanam, one of the 9 items of bhakti. How that's so, I don't know. But that's stated by Prabhupada in his purport. How is it that by bathing in the Jamuna you're doing service to the Lord's lotus feet? Interesting question. Well, one way to find out is just do it. Bathe in the Jamuna and you'll find out. You see. There's so many things we don't realize about Krishna consciousness, but I guarantee you one thing. If you keep practicing it, all the answers will come. Prabhupada personally told me in one letter, he said, if you will simply engage in Krishna consciousness with full sincerity of attitude, Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. So if you have any unanswered questions, don't worry, just do pure bhakti 24 hours a day. Krishna will personally come and answer all your questions, guaranteed by His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And you think Krishna can't answer all the questions? He's Sarvagya, He knows everything. So all you have to do is become fully absorbed in pure bhakti, and then Krishna will answer every question you have. So let's see, we have about 10 minutes before the question and answer session. Let's see if we can conclude anger. Yes, anger. We'll do anger now. Similarly, anger can be controlled. We cannot stop anger altogether. But if we simply become angry with those who blaspheme the Lord or the devotees of the Lord, we control our anger in Krishna consciousness. I'm very, very angry. Last night, I saw it was horrible going to Nigadi. the traffic on that road, I mean, I was really angry at the leaders, the government leaders, for running such a demoniac civilization. And along the way, we saw a movie. It was called Crook, It's Good to Be Bad. The government leaders are allowing these kind of movies to be made, promoting demoniac mentality. It's good to be bad. It's right there in a big, huge sign where everybody can see it. And what is the result of such a civilization where it's good to become bad? It becomes a dungeon of the demons. And it was horrible. You all live with it every day in the community. It's a horrible scene. People spend how many hours a day? One of my readers spends 5 hours a day in the commute. Every day, 5 hours of his life wasted simply in the commute. You see. This is mismanagement. You see, formerly you would live and work in the same place. Why we have to live and work in separate places? You see. This is the government. You have demoniac government leaders. They have no brain how to regulate the society where people can live happy. Just imagine if everybody lived and worked in the same place. How much it would save on the air pollution, on so much expense of the fuel and the automobiles and the motorcycles, and how many people are killed every day in the trains. I mean, it's horrible, you know. This whole society is being managed by rogues and demons. Therefore, it's a demoniac civilization. It's hell. It's a hellish situation. It was pitiful seeing those. I felt so sorry to see all those people. You know, we were just inching along, all the people on the motorcycle, the people in the buses, crammed in the buses like sardines in a can. It's hellish. There's no reason to live like this. This is not a healthy, normal life. We become desensitized to think it's normal. But it's not. It's completely unnatural, unhealthy, demoniac civilization. So I get angry when I see all this. And then all the slaughterhouses, the abortion clinics. How many babies are murdered every day in the world? Do you know the number? I don't know, but they're killing millions of babies. Can you imagine the karmic reaction from murdering with government approval? What kind of karma the government leaders are getting? By promoting abortion. I mean, it's so demoniac. It's so a horrible thing. And any intelligent, sensitive person will naturally be angry about it and want to do something about it. So that's why we have our Krishna consciousness movement, you see. It's a place, the way we can use our anger in a positive way, you see. Our anger, the mismanagement of the world leaders. We can use this movement as a way we can channel our anger by preaching, by doing Harinam Sankirtan, by doing book distribution, by having wonderful festivals, beautiful festivals to attract people to Krishna. In this way we can channel our anger. Really nice in Krishna's service. Lord Chaitanya became angry with the miscreant brothers, Jagai and Madai, who blasphemed and struck Nityananda Prabhu. In his Sikshastaka, Lord Chaitanya wrote, Janadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna. One should be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than the tree. One may then ask why the Lord exhibited his anger. The point is that one should be ready to tolerate all insults to one's own self, but when Krishna or his pure devotee is blasphemed, a genuine devotee becomes angry and acts like fire against the offenders. It's actually very effective. Not that you lose your temper. I mean to say, in other words, if you use anger to chastise a miscreant, don't become carried away like a karmi, you see, and lose your cool. A devotee keeps his cool at the same time he uses anger. And with a cool head, he uses anger. That's the point. I had a good experience one time of how I could use anger in Krishna's service. I was distributing sweets on the street in a college town, Gainesville, Florida, out on University Avenue. I had a whole bowl of sweet bowls and I was passing them out to people. Here, have some prasadam, you see. So one smart aleck hippie decided to have a little fun. he took his hands and went kawam and knocked all the sweets out in the middle of the street. Very offensive thing. He offended Krishna, you see. Prasad and Krishna are one and the same. He committed a great offense against Krishna. So I became very happy with him. I won't ever do it here because it'll hurt my ears. I'll just do it in a soft way. I'll use you as the target, so don't mind. I said, "You better get out there and pick up all those sweets right now." I said in a really loud voice. That was a whisper version. I yelled at that guy. I roared like a lion at him, "You better get out there and pick up all of those sweets right now." Like that, I just wham, you know. I just threw a whammy on him like that. And he went, ugh. He came to his senses and he jumped out and he ran down the street and started picking up all the sweets, you see. So I spontaneously, I didn't think, well, I'm supposed to use anger against the offenders. I didn't think that way. I was just angry. I mean, he really made me angry. How he can do, this is Krishna Prasadam, he's so offensive to Krishna. I became so angry and it worked. I used that anger and it snapped him out of his, he realized he made a big mistake, you see, by getting angry with him. He realized he made a big mistake and he actually overcame his offense by picking up all the sweets. So it's not wrong to get angry, to chastise the wrongdoer. It's actually a mercy. Just like, wasn't Narada Muni angry at those Manigriva and Nalakuvera? He was so angry. "What are you doing, you rascals? Why are you converting with these women naked like this in a drunken state? How degraded you become? You're the sons of Kuvera, the great treasure of the demigods, and here you are converting with these women in the sacred river for sexual pleasure? What nonsense, rascal! I curse you to become trees," he said. But because he is a great devotee in the courtyard of Nandamana, you see. So it is not wrong to chastise the wrongdoers. In fact, the parent has the duty to chastise the children. Do you know that? Your father must correct you, or he is your enemy. If he doesn't correct you, he is your enemy. So when he corrects you, you should say, "Thank you, my dear father, for correcting me." You see. When the spiritual master chastises the disciple, the disciple thinks, "Why is Guru Maharaj getting so angry? Doesn't he know that what a good devotee I am?" No. "Then Guru Maharaj, I'm so sorry I've displeased you. Please, please forgive me for my offense. Please instruct me how to make these mistakes again, Guru Maharaj." In this way, you see. Or any advanced devotee, you see. We have to learn to serve by any advanced devotee, you see. We have to be very respectful, and if we become, Prabhupada says, if a Brahman becomes angry at you, he mentioned this in his purport in the Bhagavatam, then you should smile very sweetly and pacify him by sweet words. You should smile nicely and pacify him by sweet words. In other words, if a senior devotee gets angry at you, you don't get angry back. And you have to try to pacify his anger by a humble move, submission. It's like, who's the great example? Lord Vishnu, you see. And that Muni. Yeah, that Muni, what was his name? Bhrigu Muni, yeah. He kicked Vishnu on the chest. Kick! And Vishnu said, "Oh, my dear Bhrigu Muni, I'm so sorry, my chest is so hard, and I must have hurt your foot with my rough chest. Please, let me massage your foot. I must have hurt your foot by my rough chest." You see, just see the attitude of Lord Vishnu. So, we are called Vaishnavas, isn't it? That means we are the followers of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, you see. So just remember how tolerant is Krishna. So, become angry at those who are offensive towards Krishna and Vaishnavas. But those who offend you, you should think, "Oh, my dear Prabhu, you have blessed me with this chastisement. I'm blessed, thank you very much." You see, this is how you control anger. Okay, let's finish this one up. Krodha, anger, cannot be stopped, but it can be applied rightly. It was in anger that Hanuman set fire to Lanka, but he is worshipped as the greatest devotee of Lord Ramachandra. This means that he utilized his anger in the right way. Arjuna serves as another example. He was not willing to fight, but Krishna incited his anger. You must fight. To fight without anger is not possible. Anger is controlled, however, when utilized in the service of the Lord. As I mentioned, with a cool head, actually, the devotee gets angry. Prabhupada, there was one Mayavadi philosopher. He was a professor, actually, at the University of Texas back in 1971. He was teaching a form of Buddhism. And this philosopher, his name was Rao, obviously from South India. So this Dr. Rao, he was into Mayavadi philosophy, and he would really go on and on heavy and very heavily with Mayavadi philosophy. And it was so popular with the hippies, he would allow anyone to come and sit in the class, even if they weren't enrolled. So there'd be huge audiences there to hear him presenting Mayavadi philosophy. So we told Prabhupada about this Mayavadi philosopher professor at the university. He told us to challenge him to a public debate. But he said, reply with a cool head. So that anger is done in a cool way. Not that you lose your anger and you speak all words that you didn't mean to say that you regret. No. It's controlled anger. Another example is the devotees in Mexico. They were up very late one night with a preaching program, and for Mangalarti, nobody came to Mangalarti. Pretty bad. No one showed up for Mangalarti. So during the Bhagavatam class, what do you think Prabhupada talked about? He talked about everybody didn't come to Mangalarti, and he was chastising them like anything. I mean, they were shaking. It was so heavy. He was just like a lion from the Vyasa Sun roaring. Why then they didn't come to Mangalarti? And devotees, they were just devastated. They were getting so heavily chastised by Prabhupada. And then the Prabhupada, after the class, Prabhupada went out of the door. And it's a tropical place. There was some beautiful flowers growing outside the door. Nice aroma to them and everything. So the temple president, Chitsukananda Prabhu, he would always follow Prabhupada around like a little puppy dog, following the mother dog. Well, not dog, but you know what I mean. Like a little puppy dog, following the master. Yeah, that's right. That's what I meant to say. Following the master. So, he followed Prabhupada out of the door, and then he saw some nice flowers. He picked a flower, he offered to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada went, he relished in a very peaceful, serene way. He relished the wonderful aroma of those flowers, you see. So Chitsukananda was amazed. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you were so angry, you were like a lion, and now you're like a little lamb, so peaceful. How is this, Srila Prabhupada? Within 2 minutes ago, you were roaring like an angry Nrisingha, and now you're just the most peaceful mood. How is it, Srila Prabhupada? He said, I'm never angry with my disciples. But I must make that show of anger for chastising, for correcting you and training you, you see. So in this way, anger can be used, but in a controlled way. Not that you have a temper tantrum and you lose your ability to speak properly. But no, you use anger to chastise the miscreants, very forcefully and powerfully to chastise the miscreant. So that's the proper utilization of anger. So we've actually covered half of them, so now just the tongue, belly, and genitals for your next session. So now we can, anybody who's been writing down the questions like we asked, you can pass your papers forward. We have a half hour now for answering the questions. If you have a question, we'll take your question too. Okay, here's the first question. Please elaborate on Trinadapi Sunichena, etc. Yes. That doesn't mean you be. That means personally, if someone is offending you, you're very, very tolerant. Taking it as Krishna's special mercy, and I'm burning off so many reactions of previous sinful activities. You don't become angry if somebody offends you. You become angry if someone offends another devotee or offends Krishna. Could you please elaborate on the preacher of Krishna consciousness is always, we always be on the clutches of death. Is he on, is it, but he, but beyond the clutches of rebirth? Thing is, when you become Krishna conscious, you're already situated in your spiritual existence. When you seriously take up Krishna bhakti by taking diksha from the bona fide spiritual master, Prabhupada explains your deathlessness begins from the very day of initiation. So you are living out your material existence, but you're not very attached to it anymore. You understand, it's not me. It's like I have a karmi name, but I don't like it. I don't use it. Unless I have to, I use it for legal purposes in my passport. But I don't ever, I don't use it. I use it for maybe business, you see. But I never use it in my relationship with persons on, you know, for, with devotees, obviously, and or even just the general public. If I'm, you know, only for some business reason do I do it. But anything besides business, like, you know, a telephone account or a mobile phone account, you have to call up and give your karmic name, you know, use it for business. But I don't like that name. I don't identify with it. I identify as the name that Prabhupada gave me. That's who I am. I'm Sankarshan Das. I'm not Mr. Such and Such, you see. So, because we fully identify as the spirit soul, and we identify with our spiritual name, then we're already living in eternality. And if you have no interest to vibrate nonsense, you only want to glorify Krishna, you're already situated beyond rebirth. And you're going back to Godhead is just a detail. You're already sitting on the plane. You have your ticket, you have your reservation, you have you've taken your seat, you're buckled in. It's just a matter of time before the plane takes off. You see, you're practically already there, you see. You're already practically already back to Godhead as soon as you take the process seriously. You're already beyond rebirth. Okay, my dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. How can we build up a proper mood of devotion while chanting? Well, it's easy because chanting is the prayer to beg Krishna to help you build up a mood of devotion. In other words, you're praying, my dear Krishna, please bless me with bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare. So in this way, you understand what does the mantra actually mean, and you say it with feeling to Krishna, begging him to bless you with bhakti. And the bhakti will naturally come. The more you chant, the more you get bhakti. My mind goes, gets distracted, gets after a few minutes. Well, if it gets distracted, you can say, my dear Krishna, please bless me, I can keep my mind fixed on your holy name. That's all you have to do. As soon as you notice you've gotten off the track, just beg Krishna to help you get back on, and he will. How can I control that and do perfect chanting? Just what I told you. My dear Lord, please bless me, I can control my mind and perfectly chant your holy name. Prahlad Maharaj has attained self-realization by hearing from his mother's, while he was within his mother's womb. Does the effect that Shravanam has depend on the inherent purity of the listener? Pure or impure, if you hear attentively, you become pure. You see, we are not pure in the beginning, that's the fact. We are impure. But if you will hear attentively, it's like this boy, where did he go? Okay. I wanted him to hear attentively, you see, instead of coloring. These children, I want them to learn how to hear attentively. They can color later on. I wanted them to hear attentively because, and he was doing a pretty good job. Maybe he still is, I haven't noticed, but if they can be absorbed in his hearing process, you see, then by that hearing they'll become a pure devotee automatically in due course. That's all it takes, is hearing, regular hearing. Some temples have kiddie rooms, you know, or playrooms for the kiddies, a nursery. During a lecture, all the kids go to the nursery and they run and scream much as they want and do coloring and whatever they do. But they don't learn to sit and hear the lectures. I don't think it's a very good idea. I never see that Prabhupada set up such a system. If you hear the tapes, you'll hear that even the babies are crying during the lectures. The Prabhupada had everybody in the temple room, even the mothers with the little babies were in there. You can hear the babies crying in the lectures. So it's very important that from the very childhood the children are learning to hear. You see. The mothers who are pregnant, they should be fully absorbed in Krishna Katha 24 hours a day, and that way their sons can come out little pralads, you see, or daughters, in this way. Okay? Alright. In the outside world, we have to socialize sometimes for various purposes. How do we avoid Gramya Katha if other people are not interested in Krishna consciousness? Well, do the needful. For your service, you may have to. It's like our book distributors. They would go to the airport and they'd approach them and say, "Where are you coming in from?" I mean, that's mundane. Where's some karmi? Where has he arrived from? Which city has he flown in from? But it's for Krishna's service. Where are you coming in from, man? You see? So it's for the sake of selling the book that they. So if your purpose is you're speaking what is necessary in order to do well on your job, then that is that's also transcendental because it's for Krishna's service. If you spend the money in Krishna's service that you earn from your job, that's the thing. If you spend your money in a Krishna conscious way, then whatever you do to earn that money is also purified. But if you spend the money on stupid nonsense things like trips to Disney World or something like that, then well, you're working your way into a grave. That's all I can say. Not working your way into your eternal identity. If you will spend your money, either donate to the temple or at home, make your home into an ashram, you see. It's like here, it's an ashram. So many pictures of Krishna. Everywhere I see nice temple pictures. There, I see Radhanath Swami there, Prabhupada. It's so nice. Everywhere. There's nice deities, worship. Home deity worship, everything nice. You see. So you make your home like an ashram, a place where you feel like you're in a temple when you come to your home. Then whatever you spend also for upkeeping your home, that is transcendental. So in this way, if you will take the result of your work and engage it in Krishna's service, whatever you need to do to succeed in your work will be accepted in Krishna consciousness. Okay, and there's all little things you can do to really get really Krishna conscious. Like you work at some corporation, you put a Bhagavad Gita there on your desk every day, you set it out there every day. And you have a few extra copies in your desk drawer, see. I mean, I know people who made devotees like that at work. Just like putting a Bhagavad Gita, they made someone a devotee. One of my godbrothers, Ramiya Prabhu, he was made a devotee. He was working in some kind of IT job. And one of the other IT people was initiated devotee, and he just put a Bhagavad Gita on his bed. It's in India. So he was working in Detroit, and he put a Gita on. So this boy, Randy, he just said, "What is this you're reading?" So in this way, he became a devotee. So if you can, put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk, it's amazing what the impact it will have on the other workers. Okay, can you please mention Srila Prabhupada's expectations from grihasthas about morning sadhana? Well, the ideal thing is to live close to the temple and go to the morning program. And if you can't do that, then you have your own puja at home. That's what Prabhupada wanted. You can see how there's a detailed description for the householders how to do their home puja, beginning with Mangalarti. So, you really want to do it properly. You know, you have the time, it depends on your job. If you're working 12 hours a day, maybe it's tough, depending on what kind of industry you're working in. But the ideal thing is you have Mangalarti, you have Tulsi worship, you chant japa, you have Bhagavatam, and then take prasadam and go to work. That's ideal. You can do that. I know I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and then I became grihastha, so I was very addicted to going to Mangalarti every day. So the first job I got was, we started work at 11 o'clock at night, and we got up at 8 in the morning. What does that mean? What does that do to my Mangalarti? Pretty well messed it up, didn't it? But I was, you know, I had this strong attachment. I just had to go to Mangalarti. So when I reported in to begin my new job, the boss said, you know, nobody likes to work at this shift, this hour, you know. So you can take an extra long lunch break, no problem. So what I did was I'd take lunch break at 4 o'clock in the morning. I would get in the car, I'd drive over to my apartment, pick up my wife, take her to the temple for Mangalarti. And I would drive, I would attend full Mangalarti, then go back to work every, you see. And then I would get off. I would get off work just in time to catch the tail end of the Bhagavatam class every morning. So I got Mangalarti and Bhagavatam every day. So you have to have that strong desire to do it. So you, the ideal thing is you do all those things every day: Mangalarti, Tulsi worship, Japa, Bhagavatam, and Prasadam. That's ideal. If you can't do all of them, do as much as you can. But at least the most important thing is to get 16 round them before you go to the office. Because then you're fully empowered. You see, you're fully empowered. How to deal with senior devotees if they show disproportionate anger? Which is damaging to our... Well, the thing is, how can they be senior if they're showing disproportionate anger? That's my question. A real senior devotee would never do such a thing. They may be officially senior, but if someone is showing disproportionate anger, that means they're not really a senior devotee. They're in a position as senior, but they're not really senior. So what do you do with somebody who's... And such a person, I would be compassionate upon them, feel sorry for them, see if you can help them. Because they're suffering. That's what I would do. If someone is showing disproportionate anger in their position of leadership, I would feel sorry for the poor person. Try to help them. Be kind to them. Become friends with them. See if you can help them. Because they're suffering. They're suffering. I guarantee you, anybody who gets anger unnecessarily, they're miserable. They're a very unhappy person. They may make a show of being happy and together, but I guarantee you, anybody who doesn't control his anger is miserable. A very miserable person. So, how can a disciple is, what's this word? How can a disciple, what? Top line. You can't make it out either? It's just, give it to the author. How can a disciple, what? Who's the author? Give it to the author and then we can know immediately. Who's the author? I'd be happy to answer your question. Just tell me what that word is. How can a disciple what? Benefit? Huh? What's the word?
Benefit.
Benefit. Okay, I was right. Okay. How can a disciple benefit if he is attached to his material duty, the aim of rendering service to Vaishnava? That's very nice. There's nothing wrong to being attached to your work as long as you're not attached to the fruits. That's the key. If someone has, that is called karma yoga. You're attached to doing a certain type of work. There's nothing wrong with that. Pujari may be very attached to being a pujari. A book distributor may be very attached to being a book distributor. A householder may find great happiness and satisfaction in being a householder and running a business for Krishna, earning money for Krishna. There's nothing wrong with that attachment as long as the result is offered to Krishna. That's the key. That's the key. He could definitely go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire, whether he said should or can, I don't remember, he said, the same point is there. He can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Now, that's being attached to your activity, your business activity. If that isn't being attached to your business activity, what is? Being attached to become the wealthiest, a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. That's being attached to being a businessman, you can say, but for Krishna. So there's nothing wrong to be attached to a particular type of service or activity. As long as the result is offered to Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas, then you're fine, you're on the pathway back to Godhead. Anja Prabhu, who recently left us, were very lamenting, but I remember he was saying he hoped at least he could play kartals in the spiritual world, you see. So when, let's say someone is attached to doing the kirtan for Krishna. Is there something wrong? He's attached to doing kirtan? No, very nice. Someone is attached to preaching, glorifying Krishna, attracting people, giving speeches to attract people to Krishna. Is there something wrong with that attachment? The key is the result of the work. You can be attached to your work, but not to the fruits. That's the point. The fruits all belong to Krishna. Although, surrender to Krishna is everything, we have a tendency to postpone surrendering. How can I create the urgency of surrender to Krishna? Well, I gave the example this morning. You fall off the edge of a cliff, and on the way over, you're grabbing a hold of some branches. And you grab a hold of them, and there's a 500-yard drop, you know. You'll be dead for sure if you let go of those branches. So you're hoping somebody up there knows there's a pathway right above you. There's people going up and down it regularly. So you're hoping that somebody will come and hear you and rescue you. So how would you call out from that hanging position? Would you go, help? Help? No, would you help? He would yell with the greatest help. I'm stuck here holding this branch. Please save me. Help, help, help. Not help. Help. No. So when how if you realize your position that you're in this material world, and at any second you can leave your body and go down to the animal kingdom. You see? You're a matter of realization. If you understand the dangerous position you're in right now, you will definitely fully surrender to Krishna. As soon as possible, you fully surrender. You beg Krishna, please, Krishna, bless me with pure bhakti. Please help me completely surrender to you. If you're not getting the pure bhakti, just keep begging Krishna. If you bother him enough with your prayer, he'll reward you with pure bhakti. My dear Krishna, please bless me with pure bhakti. Of course, it's not a botheration. It's the greatest pleasure for Krishna. We pray like that. But even if it were a botheration, in the material world, the beggars, they bother you until you finally give them some money to get rid of them, you know. Here in India, we see they're very good at bothering you until you finally say, okay, here, take it and get out of here. Krishna is not like that. But even if he was, we can just keep bothering him until finally he says, all right, you're going to have pure bhakti. But actually, it's not like that. When Krishna hears our prayers, it's the sweetest music to his ears. Oh, this soul is begging for pure bhakti. Yes. So we have to feelingly implore Krishna to bless us with pure bhakti. Okay, anything else? Or we can stop here. Maybe everyone's a little tired now. And the question well has run dry, and it's almost 9 o'clock, so... Huh? You can all do, but I need... The thing is, I have to get up at 3 in the morning to do. And... So I need... It's better that I go let you all do kirtan. Because the kirtan can go on for another hour easily. Well, the thing is, if you ask me to do a short kirtan, it won't happen. I'll do it and I'll just... once I do kirtan, I become transcendental to time and space. Once I start a kirtan, that'll be all over, so I'm not going to do it. We're going to go. We're going to head out now. So we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly make it your every, make this Krishna consciousness everything in your life, that I have one duty and one desire only, and that is to please Krishna. Please make that your program to please Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas. If you do, I guarantee you'll be the happiest people in the whole universe. Nectar of instruction, ki jai. Shri Prabhupada, ki jai.